Breaking now, what we're learning about a 9-year-old boy rescued and pulled from a local lake.
A Wake County K-9 deputy who was killed in the line of duty was laid to rest. I'll tell you why his handler says that they had a connection that was unmatched.
Then, could these be the solution to more affordable housing in Raleigh? We talk with a local group pushing for more construction on tiny homes.
A brand new run of Future Cast shows when hit and miss storms could kick off tonight. I'll show you what to expect the rest of tonight and Father's Day weekend.
Right now at 7, we are following breaking news in Johnston County. One person is dead and a teenager taken to the hospital after a crash. Thank you for joining us. I'm Ashley Rowe.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. Sky 5 flying over that scene. This is US 70 near Martin Livestock Road. Let's go to Lena Tillette. She's in the WRAL Live Center following the developments here. Lena.
Dan, Ashley, just an emotional scene out here in Johnston County near Princeton. I want to bring those live images back up immediately from WRAL Sky 5. You can see how badly the SUV looks after this crash here. Authorities telling our photojournalist on the scene in the breaking news tracker, one person has died. That was inside that SUV. A 13-year-old was taken to Wake Med as a trauma patient. This is near Princeton Church, and according to officials, that a van was traveling westbound on US 70 when a white SUV made a left turn into the Princeton Church parking lot, and that's when they collided. I have seen people standing in the parking lot of that church, visibly emotional, some people in tears. You can see how big of a law enforcement presence there is, as well as EMS crews still here on scene. There is some impact to travel, but obviously the concern here is of that 13-year-old survivor, again, at Wake Med. We are going to stay on top of this to find out how that child is doing. But again, one person has died from this crash here in Johnston County. Back to you.
Devastating scene. Yeah. Lena, thank you.
And taking a live look at a very active radar at this hour, we're tracking storm chances here tonight after severe weather moved across several other states today. Meteorologist Kat Campbell is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a timeline, Kat.
Storm chances will continue to grow this evening and tonight, especially once we get past sunset. Fayetteville, one of the few areas that is seeing a shower right now. That shower, no lightning just yet, but a quick downpour passing through Fayetteville as we speak, continuing to push to the north and east, about to cross over I-95. The dual Doppler 5000 radar, just a few showers right now. Once we get to the late night hours, though, we expect to see this activity growing on the radar. And it's really once we get past 9 o'clock that we have the best chance of a shower or storm tonight. This is a brand new run of Futurecast that just loaded in to our system here, and it's still showing a few of those showers and storms sticking around 2 a.m., perhaps 3 a.m., but we should see the intensity of anything on the radar dying down after midnight. This system that we are tracking has brought severe weather to much of the south today, a rare June severe weather event with a level 4 out of 5 threat for severe storms there. There have been 6 reported tornadoes, over 100 reports of wind damage, and 65 reports of hail, some larger than 5 inches. I'll have a closer look at the tropics and update you on those coming up.
5 inches. Okay. Thank you, Kat.
We continue following breaking news. A child rescued in Wake County after nearly drowning. Officials say it was a 10-year-old boy who was having trouble swimming in the Neuse River. Sky 5 flying over the scene earlier today. WRAL's Julian Grace is there live now near the Milburney Dam. Julian, you spoke to several people who were at the scene there. What did they tell you?
I did, Dan. Let me first set the scene here for you. Before that frightening moment, it was a day just like this. People were out enjoying the water. And then someone said they noticed a little boy face down in the water, and they thought he was just playing around. But then they realized he wasn't conscious. And then Good Samaritans quickly jumped in the water here. They pulled him out and started performing CPR while others called 911. Now, I'm told it took EMS and firefighters a while to get to this location. It was difficult to get to. And once they arrived, we're told that the boy was conscious and rushed immediately to the hospital. We do not know his condition, but once again, we can say that he was conscious when he left here. Coming up, Dan, tonight, all new at 10 and 11, we talk to some people who come to this area often and hear why one man tells me safety needs to be improved along the water here.
Let's hope that young man makes a full recovery. Those people there saved his life,
yes.
Julian. Wow, Live Force in Raleigh. Thank you. Let's take you to another kind of scary scene today. 40 students on board a bus in Wake County involved in a crash this afternoon. Again, Sky 5 over that scene. This is US 401 near Banks Road. One other vehicle we know was involved. No one, fortunately, was hurt. We're waiting to hear back from investigators about exactly what happened.
Wake County's longest-serving canine was honored today after being killed in the line of duty. Santos was accidentally shot by a Knightdale police officer last month. Hundreds of community members came together to support the sheriff's office and the canine's handler during a special service. WRAL's Destiny Patterson was there as his handler tearfully described their unbreakable bond.
Flowers and photos are here to honor canine Santos. His handler, Maria Fuentes, says that he was both her eyes and her ears on the job.
In a blink of an eye, my heart was broken instantly.
For 7 years, Fuentes says they had a connection unlike any other.
Santos and I were a great team.
He died doing what he does best, that's serving Wake County.
The German Shepherd was tracking a suspect during a traffic stop in Knightdale when he was shot.
Santos wasn't supposed to die tragically. He was supposed to grow old.
To die in tragic like that, that's just hard for all of us.
Because a handler and their canine are more than just partners on the job.
We go to work, they go with us. We go home, they're with us. So it's 24 hours a day we're with these dogs.
While the loss of Santos is not easy, Fuentes says she was proud of him and their work together until the day he died.
Fuentes says that she's chosen the path of forgiveness. Destiny Patterson, WRAL News, Wake County.
Oh, such a sad day. We asked about the process of getting new canines. Sergeant Jason Bordeaux tells WRAL that new canines go through a selection process and then a rigorous 16-week training school.
I'm Brett Nieslav in the WRAL Breaking News Tracker in Raleigh, where police are investigating a shooting here on this neighborhood on Orchard Trace Way. It's not far from Rock Quarry Road and Sunnybrook Road, that intersection. I'm going to step behind the camera and show you a little bit closer look at this crime scene here. They have the tape blocked off at the top of the hill in this neighborhood. You can see a couple of neighbors there looking on as police start to or continue their investigation there, where a lot of crime tape is there at the bottom of the hill next to that yellow car. You can actually see a yellow cone there on the ground. That is a evidence marker there next to that police officer. We're told that one person was shot here at this home not long ago. They were taken to the hospital with what they expect are non-life-threatening injuries, working to confirm how serious those injuries are. And they do have two people detained at this hour that are connected to this shooting. This is a story I'm going to stay on top of and keep you updated. Back to you.
You got it. Thanks, Brett. Taking a live look now, this is the downtown Raleigh skyline, of course. Today, some business owners, innovative owners of businesses here, pitched ideas to increase Raleigh's housing supply. WRAL's Aaron Thomas spoke with those who say the answer might be tiny homes.
Homeowners, city leaders, and even business owners gathered in this space to make affordable housing more of a reality here in the city of Raleigh. Their concept, bringing about more tiny homes.
Partners with the group Collab ADU won a grant from the city of Raleigh for their staggered approach in developing more of these homes in the city. Legally, a tiny home is part of the same property as the main home. The city of Raleigh is working to fast track construction of these small homes. I asked Sean Smith with Collab ADU about any benefits or drawbacks for property owners.
It rewards the property owner, the landowner, oftentimes somebody who would not have the ability to gain that benefit, but then also brings much needed housing and affordable housing into the marketplace.
On our late news, starting at 10 on Fox 50, we're going to be hearing from a mother who's living out of her car in Raleigh and if she thinks tiny homes are a reasonable solution. Aaron Thomas, WRAL News, Raleigh.
It is now legal to gamble on sports in North Carolina, but don't try to place your bets just yet. Governor Roy Cooper signed the bipartisan sports wagering bill into law at the Spectrum Center. That's home of the Charlotte Hornets. The governor's signature starts the clock for the State Lottery Commission to come up with rules and issue licenses for sports betting companies to operate in the state. January 8th is the earliest day you can place a bet. The commission has up to a year from today to set up the system.
It does bring it from the dark into the light. And so people who are going to participate have the ability to do so safely, securely, and legally.
Fans can, you know, bet online. They can, you know, bet in sports bars that are created. And it's exciting to think about the possibilities of what this could do.
Here in the Triangle, the new law allows in-person sports books at Wake Med Soccer Park in Cary and PNC Arena in Raleigh. Top educators are pushing lawmakers to address teacher pay and public school funding across North Carolina. I speak with the chairman of the State Board of Education about what he wants the state to prioritize and about those private school vouchers coming up next. Plus, a first look at a bluegrass festival coming to Raleigh. Coming up, we tell you more about some of the performers for this year's IBMA Bluegrass Live Festival.
Welcome back. I'm Lena Tillett in the Live Center with an update to breaking news we brought you at the top of the newscast. A fatal crash in Johnston County. We are just learning from officials that the person who died was a grandmother and that her 13-year-old grandson is who is in the hospital right now at being treated as a trauma patient. Let's bring up that video. We are also learning from authorities that that grandmother was taking her grandson to vacation Bible school there at Princeton Church. Again, I told you all at the top of the newscast that people were in the parking lot of that church, visibly upset. Now we know there was a connection to that church. The grandmother was taking her grandson to vacation Bible school when she collided with a van. And of course, the grandmother died and that child is now being treated at the hospital. We're going to stay on top of this, try to learn more about who that grandmother was, as well as how that grandson is doing. But again, tragic news here off of US 70 in Princeton. Back to you.
A new push to boost teacher pay and public school funding in North Carolina. Those are just two things the State Board of Education is asking the General Assembly to address in a letter to lawmakers. Board Chair Eric Davis joins us now to walk us through some of their concerns and solutions. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
You know, I was reading your letter as both a journalist and a parent with a young child. You laid out the State Board of Ed's priorities and concerns about public education in this letter. I want to zero in on a couple of points. What does the board want when it comes to teacher pay, particularly you mentioned with the state's projected $3 billion surplus?
Well, the State Board unanimously took the position of wanting to be the leading state in the Southeast for teacher pay. And I think that's exactly the position we should take. We should be the state that teachers want to come serve in, they want to stay in, and that they're rewarded financially for educating our students. And so it's important to note that the State Board, across all parties and all perspectives, unanimously took the position of wanting to be the leading state for teacher pay in the Southeast.
And you noted that you also wanted to increase administrators' pay as well. I want to focus on opportunity scholarships for a moment, because, of course, that has been a major headline over the course of the last few weeks. How do you think the proposed increase in these school vouchers will affect public schools in our state?
Well, it'll be devastating, in my opinion. So many of our school districts are already stretched incredibly thin. They're understaffed, under-resourced, and to take even more funding away from our public schools and divert them to private schools who aren't subject to the same accountability, the same standards, the same public oversight that our public schools are, is not the way to go in order to ensure that North Carolina educates its children. The choice that I believe we should be making is we should choose our public schools, and that we should choose to invest in those public schools. And so that's why particularly on this opportunity scholarship expansion program, I feel is the wrong approach to educating our children.
I want to expand on what you just were talking about, the accountability with private schools. How do you think that the private schools should be held accountable if they do get this state funding for the vouchers?
Well, one, I don't think they should get the funding to begin with, but if they do, then they should be held to the same standards. They should have to teach the academic standards that the State Board approves. They should have to abide by the accountability system we have that the public schools have to go through. They, in short, should have to, if they're going to take public money, they should be required to operate under the same standards, the same requirements, the same compliance that our public schools have to operate.
Davis, thank you so much for joining us here on WRAL. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
More flights are coming to RDU as the airport grows its relationship with low-cost airline Breeze Airways. Breeze will offer two new direct flights to Tampa and to Las Vegas. The company's CEO, David Neeleman, traveled to the Triangle today to speak with business leaders in Cary. He says the airline is working to get federal approval for international travel, with Raleigh on a short list for new flights to Mexico and the Caribbean. The new nonstop flights to Tampa and Vegas will start at around $99 and begin in September. New tonight, we're getting a first full look at the lineup of this year's Big Bluegrass Festival in downtown Raleigh. This year's popular IBMA Bluegrass Live will feature headline performers including Molly Tuttle and Golden Highway, Jerry Douglas, and Missy Raines and Allegheny, with special guest Allison Brown. The 11th annual event kicks off September 29th. Stages will be set up at Red Hat Amphitheater and stages around downtown as well. WRAL is a proud sponsor. You can find more information at WRAL.com. In the out and about section. It's hard to imagine September at this point. I haven't even really felt like summer officially arrived, Kat, until this week. It's really starting to heat up.
It's settling in this week. Next week, though, temperatures may actually go down a little bit as we see some more rain moving into the area. Outside today, we're in the mid-80s right now in the Triangle. A nice evening in Apex as well as Durham. 85 at the WRAL Durham newsroom. Fayetteville, the rain has pushed out. Still a little wet on our Fayetteville camera lens here, but you can see the sun in the distance, still sitting in the 80s at this point in Fayetteville. We do have a few showers, and one of those just passed through Fayetteville, clearing out. We have not seen any lightning in our area just yet. It's a few of these spotty showers on the dual Doppler 5000 radar, but better storm chances move in later tonight. Not everybody's going to see the thunderstorms, but the best chance would likely be in that 10 p.m. to midnight time frame. We could see a few of those showers and storms sticking around even after midnight, but they should be out of here by the time you wake up in the morning. Tomorrow should be a great day to head to the pool. 77 by 10 a.m. already, and there is a chance of a pop-up thunderstorm tomorrow afternoon. Pretty typical summer weather tomorrow, which is great news for those of you who do want to head to the pool. Highs in the upper 80s to lower 90s, but we do have just a few of those afternoon summertime storms popping up. Let's talk tropics, though. We haven't talked tropics since we had Arlene. And the good news for you is, officially, the National Hurricane Center is not expecting any tropical development over the next 7 days. I want to point something out, though, on this map. All the way on the other side of the Atlantic, we do have some storm complexes over Western Africa. And as those move offshore, they're going to be moving into a region of very warm ocean water. Temperatures running well above normal. The sea surface temperatures in the eastern Atlantic closer to Africa. So it's going to be moving into this environment that has the fuel that it needs to potentially organize. And we have seen some signs of this. The European model ensembles showing about a 50% chance, even 60% chance as we get into the middle of next week, of a tropical depression forming. This is just starting to pop up this afternoon. So this is new. We're going to monitor these trends for you in the coming week. There's still plenty of time to track this potential system. But the good news is that there is one big limiting factor, and it's all this Saharan dust. It's very dry, dusty air, and dry air helps to limit tropical development. So this could work against it. It's got the sea surface temperatures, the really warm ocean water that would help it develop, but this may help it weaken. So we'll kind of see how this balance works out, and we'll be watching this for you for the next week. Nothing to be concerned about right now. We just want to let you know we are watching, and we've got you covered this hurricane season. Some small storm chances tomorrow and Friday. Those would be afternoon summertime storms. Stays hot this week. High temperatures in the upper 80s to lower 90s every day. At least it's not terribly humid for Father's Day weekend. It is going to be hot, though. 92, our forecast high Friday and Sunday would be the hottest days so far this year. Next week, temperatures go down, but rain chances are going up, and we could use that rain. We don't want to set ourselves up for a drought heading into the summer season.
Good point. All right. Thanks, Kat.
92 on Father's Day.
Yes.
Oh, boy. Hey, they're an endangered species, and two more were just added to the pack, where you can see these baby red pandas. Look at them. They're so cute. Just born here in North Carolina, coming up. A huge honor goes out to a local high school drama instructor.
This is a big honor. This is exciting. Olivia Bellito received the honorable mention in this year's Excellence in Theater Education Award presented by the Tony Awards. Bellito, who teaches at Durham's Jordan High School, was nominated by a former student, a colleague, and her principal, so she touches a lot of lives. Her name and school will appear in the Tony Awards playbill and be featured on TonyAwards.com. Congratulations.
That's got to give her a lot of credibility with her students, right?
Absolutely.
That's some bragging rights, for sure.
It's Graduation Nation.
The Today Show is highlighting high school graduates from around the country, and today they picked East Wake High in Wendell.
We are spotlighting high schools on the morning of their graduation ceremony.
This morning, guys, we are headed to East Wake High in Wendell, North Carolina. Elizabeth Gardner from our Raleigh affiliate, WRAL News.
When Principal Stacy Austin got the email from the Today Show, he thought it was an actual prank from seniors. In the 8 o'clock hour, meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner introduced the class of 2023 to the whole country. Bailey Bray graduated top of the class.
This was so awesome. I feel like we've just been just beaten and bruised, you know, COVID, staying home, we don't get to do things. And now you're telling us for our graduation we get to be on the news?
Yeah, not just the news, the national news.
Yeah, right.
The whole country sporting their caps and gowns. Congratulations. Hey, double the red panda excitement at the Greensboro Science Center.
I love red pandas. Take a look at these precious faces. They're waving hello. The one is two red panda cubs, a boy and a girl. They were born on May 26th. Ty and Usha are their names. This is the second red panda litter born at the center. The cubs are currently being housed at the animal at the Shearer Animal Hospital in a nursery where you can actually go start to see them tomorrow if you'd like to. The hospital will be open to the public at 9:15, but they look like they're little sleepy guys, so don't be too loud.
Yeah, I've never seen a red panda in person before.
Really?
No.
Have you seen the grown ones?
No.
They will change your life. Thanks for being with us.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.